5, if you'll turn there and mark that. 1 Timothy 5, turn there and mark that, if you would, please. And see y'all this morning. I know some of you battled to get here with your help. And thank you. You know, God don't expect the best there is. He really don't, folks. He just expects the best we can do. And if it's crawling in, it's crawling in. Amen. Oh, my cup's full, folks. Ephesians 5, if you'll mark that, we'll be back there. And we'll get into Psalm 68. 1 Timothy 5, Ephesians 5, and Psalm 68. It is so good to see you today. There is a lot of sickness out there, friend. Thank you for being here, and thank the Lord for being here. Psalm 68, if your Bible is like mine, my Bible has a title over this psalm, says the triumphant God. Triumphant God. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away. Did you see that smoke being driven away? See that? So drive them away. As wax melting before the fire. Can you see that in your mind's eye? Wax melting before the fire. So let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Don't just be rejoicing. He said, rejoice Sing unto God. Sing praises to his name. Extol them that rise upon the heavens by his name. I'm going to call this Yah. And rejoice before him. Let me just pull it apart 1 second. When somebody sings a special, the choir or special, whatever, if the only time you clap or raise your hands at the end, you may be doing it for them. They don't deserve it. It won't hurt you to raise your hand while the singing's going on. It won't hurt you to say, well, glory to God, while they're singing. Because we're praising him. Those three folks that just sang, that was a blessing, but they ain't no good, all three of them. Ain't none of them. I know them all. That choir, boy, I tell you right now, I said, wow. But I know all of them. They ain't.
Come on.
But he's.
Amen.
There's none good, no, not one.
Amen.
Won't hurt you to learn to praise him.
Amen.
When they're talking about it, singing about it.
Come on.
Because if you praise him at the end of the song, cry out. I think maybe you're doing it for them and not him. I know I don't count. But does that make any sense to anybody? By the way, y'all try. You might just starting to get it. You might be exceedingly endorsed. Amen? Anyway, let's get back to the message. I'm sorry. A father of the fatherless and judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families. You ever play solitary? I mean, you ever play solitary? I've never had, no, I don't have. You ever play solitary with anybody else? Why not? Because solitary means one, alone. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those that are bound with chains. But the rebellious dwell on a dry land. Let's pray. Our Father, bless your holy name. You wrote this book. You inspired this book. You preserved this book. If we're saved today, it's because we heard the word. If we've had any victory in our life, because we heard the word and applied it to our lives. So, Father, we bless you today for this book. Bless you for this little church here behind Carter Seeds. Bless you for these men and women. And the reason we do that is because we're all here because of you, what you did in our lives. I'm sure most of us were lost, but now we're found. We're black, but now we see. Help us. Lord, we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God wins. We live in a society where God has basically been kicked to the curb. Look at the White House. Our government was founded on the Word of God and pretty much put together by God-fearing men, and barely is God ever mentioned, and I have never heard a politician mention Jesus yet. I'm not saying they haven't. I just haven't heard them. I've heard them say, God bless America. And I've heard them talk about God, but you just don't hear Jesus mentioned much in politics because that's not politically correct. Jesus Christ is the Lord. He's not only the Lord. He said, without me, you're not going to make it to heaven. Amen. Listen to this statement. The original intent of the Founding Fathers was to create a form of government that was free to set its own policy only if God had not already had rules in place. Our founders believed that man-made laws were not to contradict the laws of God. That's where all this confusion is coming from in our government. We've made and are making laws that contradict God's word. And there's nothing but chaos and confusion. Look at the White House. Then look at the schoolhouse. I got some public school teachers in here. The NEA, the National Education Association, wants the United States to nationalize health care, start a nuclear freeze, and adopt national energy policies, and they want the government to pass gun control laws. The NEA does not want teachers tested or schools privatized. The NEA has long backed a left-wing political agenda. Many of its proposals seem far removed from the improving teachers' working conditions. In this past election, untold millions of dollars, billions maybe even, went into the Liberal Democratic Party, while just a very small percentage went to the conservative cause from the NEA. That's educated people in this country. And I'm not against education. Let me tell you something, friend. If you can get your kids out of that mess, you need to. There's a teacher right there nodding her head. There's another one back there. There's another one there that's been teaching for years. It's a mess. Yeah. They won't do nothing but mess up your youngins. Second grade, they're wanting to teach about boys becoming girls and girls becoming boys. In the second great. Let's look at the church house. Some of what people attempt to pass off these days as the gospel is where I said what I said in Sunday school is overwhelmingly surfy. Christian happy talk. Sometimes the good news coming from a lot of these preachers sounds more like it came from the pages of Oprah magazine or Dr. Phil's book rather than the Bible. A lot of preachers today consider sin controversial. One popular preacher, when asked about issues such as abortion and same-sex marriage, he replied, "I don't go there." Well, if he don't, who in the world are going to? He said, "I don't think same-sex marriage and abortion is the best way but I'm not going to offend those people. So he'd rather offend God. And I'm not for being offensive for offensive sake. But if it's in the book and it's as plain as the nose on your face, you don't pass over. A man said to me 6 months before I got saved, "You got the dirtiest mouth I ever heard." It's like he slapped me in the face. I was convicted in my heart of sin for the first time in my life. About 6 months later, I got saved. I'll tell you, friend, if there's no conviction, there's no conversion. I read this week where Ann Graham Lotz at one time had been removed from a church physically for teaching the Word of God. The church house, the school house, the White House. Now all this is bad news, but there's some good news, period. God wins.
Amen.
God is in control.
Amen.
Nothing ever occurs to him. And he reminds us that if God be for you, who can be against? He hadn't lost the White House, the school house, or the church house. He's just letting them do their thing. One day they may realize they got what they had. They got what they wanted, but they lost what they had. By the way, he'll do the same thing to me. That's the kind of God we serve. He'll give you enough rope to hang yourself.
Right.
In Psalm 68, I saw three areas that God wins over, and I want to share this with you this morning real quickly. Verses 1 and 2. Psalm 68, 1 and 2, "Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered, let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God." Number one, God is over the sinners. The Bible says his enemies will be scattered. The Bible says they will flee. The Bible says they will be driven away as the smoke. The Bible says they will melt away as wax. They will perish. First Peter 3:7 says, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word is kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." God's holding back his wrath. But I'm going to tell you what, friend, there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun.
Amen.
And it's coming.
Yes, sir.
I want to just say this to you real quick. For the lost person, this life is as close to heaven as they will ever get. So God says, eat, drink, be merry. Then he says in verse 3 and 4, not only is God over the sinners, but he's over the saints. Verse 3 and 4, "But let the righteous be glad, let them rejoice before God, yea, let them that see them rejoice, sing unto God, sing praises to his name. He stole them that rise upon the heaven by his name, y'all, and rejoice before him. God is over the sinners, but he is also over the saints. And I like this. For the saint of God, this life is as close to him. You say, preacher, you're talking about the saints. You must be talking about perfect people. No, I'm not talking about perfect people. I'm talking about saved people. Yeah. Did you know God sees you as a saint, not as a sinner, saved by grace? Did you know that? The church at Corinth was the most carnal church in the Bible. They had an incestuous relationship going on in the church. They argued at church, they fussed, they fought. Immorality was everywhere. And God opened the book up with these words. You're saints. Because though they were carnal, though they lived according to the flesh, they had been born again. Saved. Jesus said, rejoice because your name is written in heaven. Some of you, I worry about you. I'm afraid some of your face is going to freeze and a frown. I really do. I worry about some of you. I'm serious. I worry about some of you. Oh, say, but I'm glad, I'm glad. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Jesus said, rejoice because your name is written in heaven. Not because you're perfect, but you're born again. You're saved. You get going to heaven when you die. Amen. And if one of you won the lottery this week, you called the preacher up and said, preacher, let me just tell you, I won't be back. I don't need to go to church. Well, I won the lottery. I don't think you'd say that. I think many of you would say, preacher, how much is the tithe on somebody? And if you didn't, I'd tell you anyway. Amen. God's over the saints. Not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. I'm going to tell you something, friend. If you're going to hell, you're going because he saved you, because of what he did for you, not because of anything you've ever done, other than to say yes to Jesus. That's it. Friend, when you accept the Lord, in other words, you got saved by his mercy, and you serve God faithfully, rejoicing will come. Some of you is frowning because you ain't obeying. Some of you is frowning because you're sinning. Preacher, do you ever sin? Well, I thought I did one time, and then I discovered I was wrong. Ain't that right? Come on, lady. Ain't that right, lady? Look at Ephesians chapter 5. I want you to see it. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, where is an excess. And some say, well, praise God, preacher. He said, as long as you don't drink too much, you're all right. Well, we beg to differ over there. Be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Notice what it said. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Friends, when your beliefs are followed up with actions, rejoicing will come. You don't have to fake it. You don't have to make it happen. When you follow the Lord, rejoicing will come. You have a song in your heart. You have a thankful heart, verse 18. I said, God is over the sinners. He's over the saints. And real quickly, he's over the saved. Verses 5 and 6. The father of the fatherless, a judge of the widows, is God in his holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. I say God is over the same. First of all, he talks about the fatherless. Widows, orphans. Let me just tell you real quickly. I was fatherless before my daddy died. When my mom and daddy divorced, he got so wrapped up in his new family. Now listen, if you've been divorced, it's in the past. You'll never move forward looking in the past. You're well in the past. But you can change things from this day forward. God is the father of the fatherless. He pities them. He blesses them. He teaches them. He provides for them. You know why I lost it down there a while ago? Because that little girl standing right here with him. God's a father to the fathers. Oh, her dad's living. I know that. And I talk to him quite often. But it's time. We talked to a little lady this week. Brother Dave and I talked to her probably 20 minutes. And I told him, I said, every time you can talk to her and give her a listen and be good. Because she needs that. Because her daddy's, by his own choice, hundreds of miles away. And her daddy extremely close. But I want to say he's the father. Charles Stanley, what a preacher. I had to hoop and holler screaming, yeah, can you get a grunt? He stands there and just talks for about 30 minutes and I say, Lord Jesus, what must I do to be saved? He was fatherless. Thank God he had a godly mom. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And ladies, if God puts it on you to be mom and daddy, do it.
That's right.
I married that gal right there because she was a mama and daddy to her kids. She provided for them. She jacked him up beside the wall if he needed to. I saw her do it. I brought you into this world and I can take you out. I said, boy, I like that. As long as she don't try it on me. As long as I do what I'm told. That cow's at one time, pastor of the largest church in America, his daddy was a drunk. His daddy one time threw him on the sideboard and kicked him and beat him because he was a preacher. But he had a godly mama. And he had a father to the father. My daddy-in-law, he's in heaven now. Daddy died when he was just a young boy. His mama raised five boys by herself. She never remarried. That piece of property we live on there, 13 acres of land, it used to be 65 acres, horse farm. But she worked herself, fingers to the bone, and pay for that piece of property. David Bruton had a father to the fatherless. You know what really burdens my heart today is our society are taking these orphans and these kids and adopting them out to homosexual families. I'm talking about Christian adoption agencies. And I know that the society does it because when we had teachers training here for social circles, Social service. Thank you. I've had a stroke. I know y'all. We had two men that were homosexuals that had adopted kids out. And of course, when they showed up on the scene, it wasn't long because we took them kids to the back, preached to them, walked on before they got out here. I'm talking about the whole social services got out of here. They can't take it because we weren't politically correct.
Amen. Praise God.
A father to the fatherless. Notice he said he's the judge of the widows. God's the judge of the widows. Let me say this to widows. There are those that are considered widows indeed. But thank God you got families to help widows, and you got a church family to help widows. Amen.
Amen.
Did you know 3 out of 4 women eventually are widowed? 3 out of 4. God has a plan to care for those widows. It's their families, their blood families, and their church families. And not necessarily in that order. Because some widows don't have a family that loves Jesus and don't care anything about it. And I've seen it all the time. I'm going to read to you 1 Timothy. You look at that later on. We got to close. Is God able to say it? A father of the fatherless, a judge of the widows. And notice, he's a gatherer together of the solitary. God is the founder of godly families. Let me say this to you, friend. If you're going to have a godly family, you need to start it right.
Amen.
My wife's going to kill me. Don't tell me. I don't remember the situation. But I'd kiss Terry on the head. And maybe at one time, one time we were somewhere, I don't remember where we were. I'll redo it. Oh, they give me a kill. She said, get away, you crazy. You're a preacher. We wouldn't even be together today if she said, okay, be quiet. I know that's what you want to say. I'm telling you, friend, if you're going to have a godly family, you need to start it right. No sex before marriage. No petting. No carrying on. And don't tell me God's in it. Because I'm in love. No, you in lust. I had no idea what love was. Until I had to love her and she had to love me. Not based on our feelings, but on Christ.
Amen.
In our hearts.
Amen.
And in our life. I'm thankful my first wife and I had been saved and wanted to serve God. We knew that meant being in church, faithful. We knew that. We knew that meant raising our kids according to the principles of the Word of God. We knew that. My second wife and I were both saved and serving in a local church. And we knew that if we're going to make it, we're going to have to continue with God, continue on with God. And I see it. Notice in verse 6. God says to solitary and families, he bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious to well and the dry land. The rebellious to well and the dry land. I see those that are fatherless. I see those that are widows. I see those that are solitary or lonely and want a family. And I see them, and God cannot bless them because they are rebellious to the Word of God. And they're going to die alone. Or die after relationship, after relationship, after relationship. I see them. I see it in young people without a father. I see it in widows without a husband. And I see it in lonely people. Listen, we all want a family. But friend, you got to do it God's way. If you're saved, you better do it God's way or it ain't going to work. Got to do it God's way. You got to do it God's way. I'm concerned about the White House. I'm concerned about the schoolhouse. And I'm concerned. My church house. But I'm not discouraged. Because God wins. God wins. Young fellow in our church, him and his wife, I see the blessings of God upon their life. It ain't perfect. They're just like the choir. They ain't no good. They're just like the people that sing. They ain't no good. But they love Jesus. And they're trying to do it God's way. And I have watched God bless them. Get your hymn books. Page number 28. If you got a hymn book, that's because we ordered 25 more this week. I got tired of being without one of their beers, so we ordered some more. First, page number 28. Verse number 3. Look at what it says. This is my Father's word. Oh, let me never forget that though the wrong seems all so strong, God is the Lord. This is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus, who died, shall be satisfied in earth and heaven. God wins. God wins. You're saved, I'm chapter. I know you're not perfect. Ain't nobody perfect. If you kick God to the curb, you'll be just like America. You'll be just like the schools. You'll be just like our churches. Where God just walks out. He just leaves. So our Sally said, God ain't got to judge America. All he's got to do is leave us alone.
Right.
That's all he's got to do to sinners. Just leave alone. That's why he is tonight, today. Let me challenge you, friend. Lord, you say, preacher, you just want my money. I'm not interested in your money. God's not interested in your money. He's interested in your heart. Because if he gets your heart, I'm not talking about that thing that beats blood. I'm talking about your will, your mind, your emotions. If he'll get your heart, he'll get the rest of it. Not a problem at all. No problem at all. Your word, I pray in Jesus' name. Let's all stand.